Dear love and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Even though the rain was coming in sideways, somebody somewhere needed that, Lord, and I thank you for it. But Lord, please bless our time in your house this evening. Please be with our brethren wherever it is they are in the world. And please deliver them this day their daily bread. Don't be done with us, Lord. Please keep working on us and using us. I know there's somebody lost somewhere that needs what we have. And I pray you, Lord, just for opportunities to share. Bless the time in your presence, Father. Please find our prayers and praises and the reading and the studying of your word acceptable in your sight. And leave these things at your feet, Lord. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to have to switch glasses now. We're in the big book this evening. That means super magnifying glasses to read the songs. Let's take and turn to hymn number 65 to start with this evening. Hymn number 65 is one called Just Over in Glory Land. I think I've sung it once or twice. It should be familiar with it. It's a good old hymn.
And I long to be by my Savior's side.
another one. Amen. I will not sing that one. Let's go. Oh, hold on. These pages are fighting me. Alright, we'll do 259. 259. Definitely sung this one a few times. Good old fashioned theme and simple. Jesus saves. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated. But let's make a joyful noise.
Psalm number 55. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hit me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the wall thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness in the midst thereof deceit, and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it that hateth me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes thereof, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, but yet were they drawn sword. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen.
Amen. Verses in there, Norman. Excellent verses in there. That's an interesting one. What does it say? Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. That's a fearsome warning. Amen. Verse 16 as well. Regardless of what everybody else is doing, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Good verses. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests that they would like to add to the list? Anybody that was praying for Abigail, your prayer was answered. She passed the part of her exam, and unless she starts working out in a gilding, we'll probably never see or hear from her again, but everything went well. She got back home. She missed another train, I think it was, but she passed her exam. So we're thankful for that. Anybody got any other prayer requests? No? All good. I'm glad to hear. please do continue to pray for a girl called Michelle. That we bumped into up at the Crescent Link, and another young man who is heavily involved in the LGBT plus movement, and a fella called Kevin that has always made a point of coming over to speak to me whenever I'm up at the dump at May down there. Big fella, Link, I must actually talk to you. Do you know of sarcoidosis? Do you know sarcoidosis? It might be to say to you after the service. I was looking for another customer for you, this man up at the dump, because he has a health problem. I said I would ask you, or I would talk to you. So his name is Kevin. Please pray for him. He specifically asked for prayer, so please do pray for him. Have you guys got all the private prayer requests still yet? You too now? Anybody got any thanks?
I am thankful that my nephew Jake is moving me closer to home.
Closer to civilization.
Yeah.
All right. We'll remember that. Please do pray for the John Henry family as well, if you would. And Norman and I are doing a bit of work in the church, as you might know. Lynn, you got your keys, didn't you? So, grand job. Still a bit of work to do, but the place is coming along. We've got all the screws replaced on the side of the church. We've got the side of the church cleaned and weatherproof. That would be the term, wouldn't it? Hopefully, whenever the reminder of the biblical flood stops falling down from the skies, we'll get a paint on it as well. But I think that's about that. All right, we'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the freedom that we have, Father, to come before you. I know, Lord, I suppose in many parts of our lives that we are wanting whenever it comes to living for you and with you and listening to you and keeping up with you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you for not just forgive us for that, Lord, but keep pointing us in the right direction and don't be done with us. Pray you too for Dr. Shank and Frank, for Paul and Kate, for Christine and Mary Ann, for Will, for John McMahon and Carol and Stephen, Lord, for John McGowan and Catherine and Rebecca and Norman and Sean, and for Pat and Steve, whatever it is they're up to, and of course for Norman and Lynn and Monica and myself, and Father, for all those souls that have had a word, heard a word of the gospel, please, Lord, whether they've read it or heard it, please, Lord, take and use it on them and convict of sin and judgment. For that girl Michelle up at the Crescent Link, for that fella Kevin at the dump, and for that young fella that came over full of vim and vigor, Lord, until he realised he was wrong, please help him to realise, Lord, if he's wrong about that, he could be wrong about other things and that he would get saved. Lord, there's so many folks that have heard a word of the gospel. I pray, Lord, please, that you would use it to convict them in the length and breadth, not just of our country, but of the world. And I pray you too, Lord, that you would work in the hearts and minds of those that are walk the corridors of power, and those especially that hate Israel, Lord, that you would curse them. For those that love Israel, Lord, and bless them, that you would bless them. But Father, that this would be plainly seen in them, that you would work constantly in opposing those that hate you and blessing those that love you. Pray you too, Lord, for Ed Bissett. Thank you, Lord, for his much improved health. Pray that you would continue to bless him and the folks in Claddywater and Kilpatrick. And Lord, all the churches. Pray for Stan and the people in Bangor. Pray for Phil and Natalie Celia and the folks at Grace Bible over there in Shingle House in Pennsylvania, Lord. Two, Lord, for Black Creek. And for John and Ruth Ann Asquith and Tim McFay, Lord, as they work in this handover of the church. Please, Lord, I know there's met hundreds and thousands of churches, and there's many people that are saved and keeping their eyes on you, and I pray, Lord, for your good hand upon them. Don't be done with us, Lord. Please continue to work in our lives, and I pray, Lord, that you would go before us. You would fight those battles that need to be fought, that can only be fought by you, Lord. And most importantly, please save us. We leave these things at your feet, Father, and pray that you will grant them according to your will, as well as our private prayer requests, Lord. Amen. Amen. Right, let's take our hymn books again. This time we're going closer to the back, 325. 325 is Trust and Obey, if your foot will stand, if not remain seated, let's make a joyful noise. Hymn number 325. please seek it. Thank you very much. You can put your hymn books away this evening and take out your Bible, if you would. And turn to Genesis chapter 2 with me. Genesis chapter 2. I was saying the prayers this afternoon and this morning. I got to thinking about what saves people. And I thought we would have a hop, skip and a jump from the start of the Bible through to the end of the Bible and see exactly what it is we need faith in to be saved. The title for the message is Faith In... ... In other words, what is it we need to have faith in? We're starting our reading this evening with Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read about a dozen and a half verses, beginning at verse number 1. And we're speaking on the subject of faith in. The Word of God says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day the Lord God made the earth and the heaven, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Amen. Verses 16 and 17 is our text for this portion of God's Word this morning, depending on whereabouts in the world it is that you live. And we're speaking of the subject of what do we need faith in, and the title is Faith In. So let's have a quick prayer and then we will get going. Heavenly Father, we just pray you for your good hand upon all of us this morning, or this evening, and this morning too, and thank you for that. But we pray your good hand upon us this evening as we take this time of your word. And please help us to see and to hear and to understand as we take this journey through from the start till the end, Lord. And ask that you would bless this time with you. We love you and praise you. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As you can see, if you look at the notes, there's about a page and a half of Bible verses. These are the examples that came to mind as I was considering what it is that we need to be saved. If we were to read again the last couple of verses of our reading, where the Bible records that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And everything was hunky-dory for Adam and Eve until they disobeyed that. And then they started to die. And such was the perfection of God's work that it took Adam and Eve nearly 1,000 years to die. 929 years, I think it was, before Adam finally died. But if he hadn't eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if he hadn't followed what everybody else was doing and not eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I think I said that right. Adam would probably still be alive today, although I think he would find it even more difficult today, because that was the only command. Well, of the two commandments that God gave Adam and Eve, one was to go multiply and subdue the earth, and the other one was not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All it would have taken was a bit of faith in God and trust that God's way was the right way. No matter, and of course if we read on to Genesis chapter 3, no matter what the devil says or what anybody else says, if Adam had just kept his eyes on God and not eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he had trusted God, everything would have been hunky-dory. Everything would have been grand. Genesis chapter 6 is our next port of call. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 17. And this is what the word of God says. This is round about Noah's day. And it says, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come into thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be good, it shall be for food for thee. And for them, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." If we were to read back a wee bit, verse 2, the Lord has said he was going to bring a flood of waters, he was going to judge the whole world. And the only way to be saved was to have faith in what God said. In other words, to go into the ark after all the animals came from everywhere, two by two of every type of animal, seven of every clean animal. And Noah did what God said. And he and his wife and his three sons and their wives, they were all saved. Because they believed God. They had faith that God was as good as his word, and they were saved. I think if you read on, you find that the door of the ark stayed open for a few days, and nobody else went in, and God shut the door. And that was that. They believed God, they had faith in what he said, over and above what everybody else said. They persevered. I'm sure there was a lot of hand taken about them building this biggest wooden boat that had ever been built in the world, in fact, maybe even bigger than what's been built since. In the middle of a field, they kept at it, and they did what God said, and they were saved. Now, if you're still there, if you want to follow me, you're going to read in Exodus chapter 12 about Ahab the harlot. Just a couple of verses this time. Ahab 12, verses 12 and 13. Sorry, not Rahab the harlot. This is the ten plagues in Egypt. Rahab's coming. And this is what the Lord said. He said, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You can be sure of shooting too that that's exactly what God's going to do with the 21 judgments upon the earth. And the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And that's very simple and straightforward. If you read back a few verses, you will see God's command to kill a lamb of the first year and to daub the blood on the doorposts, on the lintel, and whenever the destroyer would pass through the land, every house that he saw the blood on the doorposts and the lintels would be spared. The destroyer wouldn't enter in. And any post that didn't believe what God said, they would suffer judgment. And we know that that's exactly what happened. Again, faith in what God said and obedience to God is what saved the lives of the firstborn of all of the Jewish people. Right, now we're going to Joshua chapter 2, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 8 tell us, and this is whenever we're talking about Rahab the harlot, and these are the bits that are most important or relevant for who you put your trust in. Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 8. And it says, and before they were laid down under the stuff that Rahab worked on, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also shew kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And we know that because of her faithfulness, trusting in what the men of God said, that their lives were spared, because they had faith in God. In the days of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah spent most of his ministry preaching and begging with the people of God to get right with God, one of the things that he said was, from God, God said, things are so bad in the country right now, the only thing that you will be able to save is your lives. And the only way you'll be able to do that is if you allow yourselves to be taken captive. And all those that did were saved. In the days of Saul and David, we know that David killed Goliath. That just wasn't a flash in the pan. We know that David trusted in God and was able to kill the lion and the bear. And even said, Lord, that I know that this uncircumcised heathen will just be like the lion and the bear. And he killed him. Faith in God gave him the victory. In the days of Elisha, that Naaman the leper was saved because he had faith in God, in the God of the man of God. That makes sense to you. To do what God said, and his leprosy was taken from him. In the days of when Jesus Christ walked upon the face of the earth, every soul that had a miracle carried out on them. Jesus didn't force people to take miracles. Jesus didn't force his power upon people. They came to him. And many times they came to him, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. She had spent all of her living on physicians. Even after people had tried other things and it was no good to them, they came to Jesus. And in the woman's case, she touched the hem of his garment and was healed. If anyone remembers the 10 lepers that cried out to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, you're healed." Remember, the one that came back was a Samaritan. He was the only one that turned back and glorified God. It was faith in God. It wasn't faith that saved them. It was faith in the God of creation that saved them. I was trying to think of a very modern, maybe secular, modern day parable that would be equivalent to that. And I thought the best example would be the lights. I had faith that whenever I hit the switch, that the lights will go out if they're on, and will go on if they're out. That switch. It's not my faith that runs the power through to switch those lights on. It is my faith in Northern Ireland electricity that whenever I hit that switch, their car will run through the wires and activate the lights. Not me. Just understand that if I activate that, their car will switch the lights on. It is not our faith that in anything that saves us. It's our faith in Christ that saves us, our faith in God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 sums it up very well when it says, "We are saved, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And probably one of the most interesting verses is in Acts chapter 8, the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip's talking to this fellow from Ethiopia. He's reading the book in Isaiah, and he says, "That's all about Jesus, this Jesus that was crucified. And so he hops up into the chariot, and he witnesses to the fellow, and he says, "Here's some water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And some versions of Bibles, they actually stop there. And the Ethiopian eunuch says this, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It is believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what saves. Now, a lot of times we are asked to put our faith and our trust in man. The Bible says that there is a cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. It is the Lord God we need to trust in. If we were to believe in Starmer, and the things that he says, we'll look after the people, but yet and all the pensioners are being hamstrung this year for heating oil to the tune of £600 a pop, but railway drivers get one of the biggest pay rises ever, going from £60,000 a year to, or is it up to £60,000 a year? I can't recall. It's a 20% pay rise, not bad. Maybe I should learn how to drive a train. But this man is allowing dangerous criminals out of jail so that he can put Facebook and Twitter offenders into jail, or mouthy citizens. What happens when you put your faith in a man? You will always run afoul of what one man or another man believes if you put your faith in him. If you put your trust in God, he'll never steer you wrong. He never changes, but as it says in Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's good for everyone of every generation. And you'll never see or experience God in your life until you do put your faith in. For salvation, and then for wee things, and then for bigger things, and bigger and bigger and bigger, until you're ready to trust him with everything. This is the full quote from Jeremiah 17. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Those are the ones that we have read that have happened up until now, but there are many things that are going to come in this world, and there's only one way to avoid them, and that's by faith in God. In the same manner that the Lord promised to judge the Egyptians and warned them, the Lord has promised to judge this world and has warned us too. And there will come a day in the thousand-year reign that a preacher stands and brings the message, that could have saved half of the world's population. Faith in God saves souls and lives. All you've got to do is take God at his word and apply it to your life. And that's what makes the difference. Amen. Thank you for your good time. I'm stopping there. God bless you. Hope that was a bit of a help to you. Let's take our hymn books and we'll sing a song, and then we will be done for the day. Hymn number 264. 264. If you'd like to take a turn there and stand with me, we'll sing a song, and then we will be dismissed. your good time for taking time out of your weeks to be here. I appreciate it. As the fellow says, be very quiet without you. Let's bow our heads and we'll say a prayer and then we'll be gone. Lord, thank you for this little bit of time in the week you just set aside. I pray that you would bless just a reminder, Lord, to keep our eyes on you and keep trusting in you, no matter what the world, the flesh, and the devil throws our way. Please see us safely home, Lord. I pray the Lord, too, for just this wee bit of bad weather here, that you would keep people safe when they're out and about, save lives. But Lord, most importantly, please save souls. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. Please see us back the next appointment time, Father. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands. We are dismissed.